Dear friends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Gracious God, your blessed Son came down from heaven to be the true bread that gives life to the world. Give us this bread always, that he may live in us and we in him, and that, strengthened by this food, we may live as his body in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
You may be seated for the reading of God's
word. A reading from 1 Kings. Elijah went on a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. Word of God, word of life.
I will bless the Lord at all times. The praise of God shall ever be in my mouth. I will glory in the Lord. Newly hear and rejoice. Proclaim with me the greatness of the Lord. Let us exalt God's name together. I sought the Lord who answered me and delivered me from all my tears. Look upon the Lord and be radiant, and let not your faces be ashamed. I am in my affliction, and the Lord heard me and saved me from all my troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear the Lord and delivers them upon them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who take refuge in God.
Second reading is from Ephesians. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. The old way has to go. And so I insist, and God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. They've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch not only with God, but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. Feeling no pain, they let themselves go in sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion. But that's no life for you. You learn Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him, been well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it, and then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. What this adds up to, then, is this: no more lies, no more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth. In Christ's body, we are all connected to each other after all. When you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. Go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry, but don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. And don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. Did you used to make ends meet by stealing? Well, no more. Get an honest job so that you can help others who can't work. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word a gift. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit, moving and breathing in you, is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. Watch what God does, and then you do it, like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the crowd, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Jews began to complain about Jesus because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I have something to share with you, and I promise it's not my cold. Unless you'd want to take it. Come on up, you guys. So I've got a book here that I think you're probably all familiar with. Do you know the name of this book? Anybody? Are You My Mother? Are You My Mother? Morning, boys. Come on up. Have a seat. Great to see you all today. So in the book, Are You My Mother? We just read this last night at our house, didn't we? In this book, a little birdie begins to hatch from its egg. Come on up. And its mother thinks, I need to go get some food for my baby. So before the birdie hatches, she goes out and looks for some food. And while she's gone, the birdie hatches. And he falls out of his nest and he begins to look for his mother, doesn't he? And he comes, come on up, Arthur. Come on, buddy. Oh, you want to help me? Okay. So he comes to like a kitten and a cow and a hen and a dog and a boat and a snort. And he keeps asking, are you my mother? And what do they say? No. But what does that snort do? That big snort that he's afraid of lifts him up and puts him right back in his nest. And what happens then? The mama bird comes home, doesn't she? And she said, do you know who I am? And this is what he says. This is why I'm reading you this part today. Yes, I know who you are, said the bird. But then he says these things. You are not a kitten. You are not a hen. You are not a dog. You are not a cow. You are not a boat or a plane or a snort. You are a bird, and you are my what? Mother, right? He was back where he belonged, right? With his mother. That was so great. Well, yay! Well, the Bible teaches us who we are and who we are not. The Bible teaches us that. The Bible says we are not people who hold on to anger. We might get angry, but like Daniel Tiger says, a good thing to do is stomp 3 times, and then you'll feel better. Yeah. Let it go. We are not people of anger. We are not people who lie. We are not people who steal, but instead work so that we have something to share with others. And the Bible teaches us that we are what? Children of God. Children of God. Isn't that fantastic news? Now, we're going to mess up sometimes, and we might tell a lie, or we might steal something. But we can ask for forgiveness, can't we? Huh? Because we have a God who loves us. We have a God who loves us so much that he's willing to forgive us our sins and help us to start over and try and do better the next day. Isn't that great news? Yeah. Let's pray. Jesus, help us to see that in you we are children of God, and that there is no other identity that we need to know about ourselves except that. When we are lost, find us. When we are afraid, comfort us. When we are searching, Lord, help us to meet you. And to know that when we find you, when we are found by you, we are home. We are home with you, the one who loves us perfectly and forever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want to build on that children's sermon just a little bit and think with you for a little bit about how we as people often walk through life just like this little baby bird. We walk through life seeking our identity, asking that question, who am I? Where do I fit in? Where do I belong? And so we continue to search, and I'm not suggesting that there's anything wrong with that. We can learn valuable lessons. We can discover things about ourselves that empower us and that bring us life and that enable us to give life and love to others. And so there's great value in discerning and discovering who we are. But the starting place for that, as baptized children of God is that we are children of God. That's the starting place for every piece of discernment that we might encounter or start, is that we are children of God. And Paul does that in the first three chapters of this book of Ephesians. He reminds us over and over again that we are children of God, that we are inheritors, and because inheritors, that means we are children. We are part of the family. We fit. We belong. And it seems to me that as I've listened to our high schoolers come back from Houston this summer, that was one of the main messages that they heard proclaimed loud and clear, that in this church, in this family of God, you have a place where you belong. And that's really good news. Because it's from that place then that we can begin those journeys of discovery about how God has made us unique, how God has gifted us in unique and special ways to bless those around us. And so Paul does that in the first three chapters of this book of Ephesians. Paul is always moving then. He's always moving with that sense of identity and moving and trying to move us to a place where we can hear his beautiful invitation in chapter 5 to let our life shine. He says, live as children of light. You and I know that in the Bible story in Genesis, life really didn't begin on earth until the sun started to shine, right? Until the light came into being by the voice, by the word of God. And so when Paul invites us to live as children of the light, he is inviting us to be children who learn and live and grow from our Father, our life-giving Father, and then share that light, reflect that light into the world and upon others and the world around us. And this is really what is at the heart of this letter to the Ephesians. And that is that it is Christ's message through Paul in this letter that together, as we are rooted and anchored in Jesus Christ, your life, my life, our life together will become a source of abundant blessing to others. How many of you woke up this morning thinking about, how can I be a blessing to those around me this morning? What are you laughing about? You didn't think that this morning? I think we sell ourselves short sometimes because we don't wake up thinking about, how might I be a blessing to the people around me? That is the calling to which we have been called. That is the invitation to which we are invited each and every day. And so again, Paul, in helping us discover our identity as children of God, as inheritors, as beloved, then moves into a number of series of comments that invite us to take off the old and to put on the new. He invites us to take off that which is old. He says, no longer lie to each other, but just be honest about who you are, whose you are. Because when you lie to others, you're really lying to yourself. He says, go ahead and be angry, and I love that. He doesn't say, don't be angry. He says, go ahead and be angry, and the version that John read for us this morning is from Eugene Peterson's The Message, and he really puts it into earthy language. He says, you'll benefit from being angry. And I think that's true. We can get things off our chest. We can lighten our load by being angry, but Paul says, don't stay there. Don't hold on to that. Don't let the devil have that foothold, because before you know it, that anger will begin to divide you, to separate you. And again, that's the mission of the prince of darkness, is to separate us from our brothers and sisters, to separate us from those around us that we're called to be a blessing to, right? So he says, take off that desire to hold on to your anger. Take that off. He goes on to talk about how we speak. Well, he says first, if you've lived a life and gotten along by stealing, he says no more. He says, get a good job and then you might have enough. You might have enough even to share with others. Doesn't that bring dignity to our life? Paul says, take off that life of stealing and let your body do the work. Let your body be put to good use, and then you might have something to share. And then he talks a little bit about how we use our mouth, and he says, let nothing filthy or dirty, that dirty talk, but only those things that are helpful, that every gift, that every word is a gift. I know I need to think about that day by day. Every word a gift. I'd probably say a lot less As might you if we really thought about, is this word a gift or not? And so Paul is inviting us all the while to take this off. He is inviting us then to put on something else, to put on truth, to put on the dignity of work, to put on speech that brings forth life and blessing and goodness. I want to invite you this morning to think about people in your life who have been this for you, who have been a source of abundant blessing for you. I think it's easy for us to think about people who have hurt us, people who have done us wrong, but I don't want you to go there this morning. I want you to think about people who have been a source of abundant blessing for you. And it might be family, it might not be family. And I just want you to name them, either silently or aloud, before God. You can do that now or maybe in our prayers later. Just name them before God and say thanks, God, for that person or those people. And then I want you to think about people in your life that God may be calling you to renew your relationship with, whom God might be calling you to become a blessing to, or to continue to be a blessing to, or to be renewed in being a blessing to. Because, again, we often fall short in those relationships, don't we? And we need to be renewed in those relationships day by day. I just want you to listen now for a moment and say, God, who are you calling me to be an abundant source of blessing to? You know, we're often tempted with that question, I think, to start with some place in a distant land. Oh, I should be maybe a monthly giver to this charity or that charity. But I really think God calls us to start in places that are very near. In our marriages, with our children or parents, with kids on a team that we coach or mentor, with children in our Sunday school classes or confirmation classes, with a neighbor. It might be someone on our prayer list that God is calling you to bless, to be an abundant blessing to, or someone in your church. It might be the person sitting beside you this morning. And so I encourage you to start there if you're open or looking or searching for that place that God is inviting you to start, to continue or to renew. As a body of Christ here in Forest City, our mission statement is building community in the name and likeness of Jesus Christ. Building community in the name and likeness of Jesus Christ. In other words, we are people who gather together and invite others to gather with us. We are open to all people, and we are here to bless one another and to be blessed by them. That was the community of Jesus. It was a community of gathering, and it was a community of welcome, a community of blessing and being blessed by. And then we are called to send each other, send each other weekly, to send one another, to be a blessing as we have been blessed, ready to love, as Paul says, ready to love the world, the church, those in our family. See, the Apostle Paul says, in order to grow, he says, watch what God does. Watch what God does in Jesus and then do it. And he basically says that boils down to one thing. It boils down to love. It boils down to keeping Christ's company, to learning a life of love from Jesus, and to begin loving like he loves. not cautiously, but extravagantly, not to get, but to give of ourselves. Dear friends, many of you are miles down this road already. And I can say that because I am the recipient of your blessings often, your words, your encouragements, your prayers. I can say that I am the recipient of your blessings. Others of us have farther to go, but we must not get discouraged. We must continually remember that we are children of God, that we have a place, that every day is a new beginning, and we can start from square one with Jesus, fully supporting us, fully encouraging us, fully embracing us in his love that was poured out for us on the cross. And he will lead us into that life to which he is the source of all abundant blessing. For the sake of your family, for the sake of your church, and for the sake of God's world. Let all God's people say, Amen. Having heard the gospel proclaimed in our midst, let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Trusting in our loving and almighty God, who abundantly provides the bread of life to all who hunger, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. We pray for grace to recognize the bread of life as the center of our lives, and for faithfulness to live as bread for all the world, and to never give up on the work of peace. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those filled with bitterness, for those who struggle to be free of anger, for grace to forgive ourselves and others, for the Spirit who helps us live as the beloved children of God. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for all who hunger for food, for those who hunger for justice to feed the hungry of this world, to ensure that all humanity has enough to live in dignity. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for the sick of our community, for those who daily face depression or addiction. We pray especially for those who have asked for our prayers, as listed in our bulletin. And we'll start with Pastor Rod's request to pray for him. Pastor Rod, Mindy, Rolf, Marion, Eldon, Carmen, Lois, Karen, Wayne, Iome, Catherine, Paige, Anne, Cynthia, Lowell, Evangelical Lutheran Church in Montevideo, and Sharon Collins, Jenny, Joseph, and comfort those who mourn, encourage the fearful, and tend the sick. Lord, in your mercy. We give you thanks for the people who have blessed us. And please take a few minutes to think of those either in your heart or out loud who have blessed you. We also give you thanks for the lives of those faithful ones who have gone before us, Raise us at the last day, that we may exalt your name together, Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Almighty and loving God, we look to you in hope and trust, knowing that you will do far more than we can ask or imagine. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, by the cheerful Spirit, we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine, grant you the gifts of faith and hope. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Go in peace. The Spirit sends you forth to serve and to bless.
Thanks be to God.